Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think one of the most challenging seasons as a parent is when you have a child who is maybe about 3 or 4 years old, and their favorite question, any guesses out there what their favorite question is? Why? That's right. Over and over again, they ask, you know, why is the sky blue? Why is dirt brown? You know, why is corn yellow? Or why do I look the way I look? They ask why about all these questions. And as parents, sometimes you know the answers. If you're a parent like me, if you don't know it, you just kind of make it up. And then they realize later on that you kind of were making it up. And dad! But, you know, I think this question, why, really goes into the heart of who we are as people. We wrestle with this question, why? When we grow up, we also wrestle with the question, why, don't we? You know, we wrestle with the question, you know, why did she break up with me? I mean, come on, right? Or, you know, why did I lose my job? Or why did my loved one get cancer or sick? We ask ourselves, why the coronavirus? Why it seems like the economy and the world has turned upside down. Why? And I think one of the reasons why we ask this question, why, is because God has placed something within us that we want to be able to put the pieces together, right? We want to know how life fits together. We want to understand how life in this world works. If you look at the work of scientists, if you look at the world of mathematicians and biologists, they spend their lives trying to put the pieces together of how does this world work. And it's amazing, as you study the sciences, it's amazing what man has discovered about this world in which we live, trying to put the pieces together. But to be honest with you, there are some questions that science can't answer. Science can't answer, how did life begin? There's no answer for that. Or how did the universe begin? Science can't answer, is there a God or not? I think if you look at this world and the way it's put together, I would say the obvious answer is, yes, there is a God who made and created this world. But our desire is to put the pieces together to be able to understand why. There's a familiar passage that many of us has heard, and often it's used, it's shared in times of suffering, in times when we ask this question, why? It's Romans 8, verse 28. And let's read this verse together. If you're here with me or at home, let's read these words together. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. A lot of the times we focus on the words that there will be good that'll happen for those who love God. But when you look at this, who is the one who is working? Who is the one who is working behind the scenes? Who is the one who is bringing things together and putting together the pieces? Are we doing that? It's God. God is at work. God is putting things together. Even when we can't see the picture, when we struggle to put the pieces together, Romans 8 tells us to have faith that God is the one who is working, putting things together. He has a plan and a purpose. And so I want you to keep this in mind as we look at our passage today from the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter, where we hear this important passage. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And when you usually read this passage, kind of those last three words stick out to you, blind from birth, because you try to think of yourself, you know, what would life be for myself if I was blind from birth? But today I want you to notice the words that come before that. Notice that as Jesus went along, he saw. When Jesus went along, he saw someone who was born with a disability. As Jesus was going along, he noticed someone who had been suffering blindness from birth. I think so often, the easy thing to do is just to walk on by, to pass by and not to notice, not to pay attention. But I love that as Jesus was walking along, he saw. He saw this man in his need. And so often, I think when in our situation, we wonder, does God see? We wonder, does God know what we're going through? And I got to tell you, this is the truth that really struck me in studying this passage anew, that Jesus was walking along and he saw. He knew. He recognized the need right before him and he stopped. And because Jesus stopped, the disciples were engaged and they asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Essentially, the disciples were asking the question, why? Why was this man born blind? And there had to be a reason. There had to be somebody at fault for this great tragedy, a man who was born blind from birth. I think when there are things in our world, in our lives that we can't understand, one of our basic human natures, especially our sinful human nature, is we like to play the blame game. Have you ever done this? You get into a situation and you think, well, this must be somebody else's fault, right? It's not something that I have done. Or, you know, maybe Trump isn't doing the right thing with the coronavirus, or it's Congress's fault, or it's my boss's fault, or it's Governor DeWine's fault. I don't know. With this whole coronavirus, do you find yourself wanting to blame someone? Wanting to cast fault on someone else? I think that's what we often want to do as we try to put our pieces together. But when we blame others, is our focus on others or on the God who works? The God who works good in all things for the sake of those who love him, who have been called according to our purpose. And so the disciples were asking, who sinned? Who's the person to blame for this blindness? And Jesus says, it's not the parent's fault or the child's fault. This is something that God has allowed to happen, that God may show his glory. Jesus literally says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that that whose work? God's work, the work of God, might be displayed in his life. Now, when I read this, I'm struck by the fact that this man was blind for how many years, we don't know, for what purpose that God could work, and that by his eyes being opened, that God may get the praise. So often, I don't want to go through suffering, right? I don't want to go through hard times. I wish, TLC family and friends, that we could all gather here in person, right? That we could give hugs and smile and high fives and handshakes and to be able to encourage one another face to face. I mean, this live stream is great, but it's not the same as being together in person. But I believe that God has a plan and a purpose that we're going to come out of this stronger. That our lives are going to change, but we're going to, you know, what are you doing with your time without watching March Madness? What are you doing without your time watching spring ball? What are you doing without, you know, I suppose probably Netflix, right? But you know, if you're not watching TV, what are you doing? Maybe this is a time to step away from those things that we grow attached to realize that God is calling us to something deeper, something bigger, that God has a purpose and plan bigger than being entertained. But it's here to see, to notice, to help those who need help in this time. And so I want to just kind of emphasize this. God is powerful enough to take this present suffering and to use it as clay to shape in order to create greater blessing. Amen? Do you believe that? I really believe that there is something that is going to come out of this that 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road, we're going to say, wow, remember how crazy it was in 2020? Think how much better it is now, all right? But right now we're in the middle of it. Can we see, if you imagine being that piece of clay or that mud pie that Gail was talking about, being shaped and molded together, that can be stressful or thrown into the fire or painted. But God is using this process to shape us, to grow us. And so as Jesus covered the man's eyes with mud, taking his own spit and making mud and covering his eyes, what did he tell the man to do? Go and wash. Wash in the pool of Siloam. And it's kind of one of those crazy things. Could have Jesus just touched the man and said, see? He could have. You know, could Jesus have just said, you're healed? But Jesus gave these instructions that may seem weird or, you know, why all these extra steps? But I think we need to remember that even when it doesn't make sense, what does God want our response to be? To trust him and obey him. Trust him and obey him. Even when it doesn't make sense, trust God and obey him. And so this man, he trusted God and he obeyed him. And he went and he washed and he came home seeing. His eyes were open and he could see. He hadn't been able to do this ever before in his life. But now he could see. It's a miracle that God worked. And so he went and he found Jesus. And with a conversation with Jesus, he realizes who the Son of Man is, who the Messiah is, who the Christ is, the God who worked this miracle to allow him to see for the first time. And when this man realized that Jesus was God's son, we're told that he said, yes, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. I think this is our response when we realize that God is at work in our worlds, our hearts, and our lives. We fall before him. We believe him. And we worship him. This is our response as we come before God. Because not only did Jesus, you know, cover us, not just with mud, but Jesus covered us with his love. And so I believe that God uses all the experiences of our lives to ultimately bring us to Jesus. And so instead of asking why, say, God, what can I learn from this? God, what are you doing in my life to draw me closer to Jesus? God, how can I see you more clearly? And how can I love my brother more dearly in this time? Instead of looking at others and asking, why, God, why? To say, God, how? What can you do in my life to bring you glory and praise? Ultimately, that's what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Jesus himself on the cross asked a why question. He cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know the answer to that. Jesus was forsaken because he carried on his shoulders in his life and death the sins of this world. Jesus on the cross paid for our sins so that we may no longer be spiritually blind, spiritually dead. That through faith in him, Jesus washes us. Not in mud, but we're washed in the waters of baptism. We're covered by his blood as his children, redeemed. And we know that in Christ, we are dearly loved. I'm going to close today with just two passages, two thoughts for you, two people and their stories in times of hardship. The Bible tells us about Paul, that he had this thorn in his flesh. And three times he asked God to remove it from him. And ultimately, what was God's answer to Paul? All right? He said, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in what? In weakness. And so I think there's meaning for us in this time that we can know that when we are feeling weak and not in control and we don't understand, who does? God does. And that we can trust in him, that as we place ourselves before the Lord, we can trust and know that God is at work, working good for us and for his church and his kingdom, ultimately bringing people to Jesus. Another story is about Nick Vujicic. He is a man who was born with no arms and no legs. Maybe you've heard of him. He's a Christian inspirational speaker. And he goes around and he shares a story that when he grew up, he was bullied, he was made fun of, and he even had to learn how to just get up. But now he swims, he skydives, he gives amazing messages. And this is what he says, and I think that I want to close with this today. Nick says, I'm not jealous of anyone because of having legs or arms. He says, because I've got something so much more, which is faith in Jesus Christ. He will carry me when I cannot walk. And so right now, God is carrying us, but God is also calling us to look out for others. Jesus sees us. He knows our needs, and he is there with us, working good, working hope, healing us, opening our eyes to his work in our world. May today your eyes be open to the reality that Jesus is with you, that in Christ you are forgiven, that even when we cry out, God, why? May you place your faith in him and trust that God has a purpose for you, that God can work good in all things for those who love him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.